I want to welcome you to this short communion service. And if you'll take your Bibles, please, and go to John chapter 15. Can everybody hear me okay? Alrighty. So, Jesus Christ, as I said, there's no man who's ever going to love you like Jesus Christ. And he defined love in John chapter 15 and in verse 13, where he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." When he was about 33, he partook of the Last Supper with his disciples, and there was where he instituted the memorial of Holy Communion, which we take tonight. And at that time, he already knew, we're going to read later what the Psalm said about him. He already knew that he was going to be beaten so badly that he would not resemble a man. And he knew that he was going to be brutally nailed to the cross. And it says in Psalm 22, verse 7, "And they that see me shall laugh me to scorn." Psalm 22, verse 7. "And they that see me laugh me to scorn." He took our humiliation, those times in life where people throw scorn at you. I think someone prayed tonight not to let other people's sin affect us. Well, there it is right there. That's where he paid for it. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head saying, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him." He delivered us from being spiritually attacked, from people telling us, "Well, you're not very spiritual. Do you really love God?" He delivered us from that. In verse 12, "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round." He took on the host of hell. He took on the host of hell. "They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion." Jesus said, "I am poured out," verse 14, "like water. And all my bones are out of joint." They didn't break his bones, but they disjointed his bones. Can you imagine hanging on the cross with dislocated shoulders? And that's the pain he took, the suffering of sickness and pain and physical pain. "My heart is like wax," he says in verse 14. He took our weakness, those things that make us go weak in the knees with fear. He experienced the worst kind of fear a person can ever experience. His heart melted like wax. It melted in the midst of my bowels. Have you ever been there where you're so scared you feel it all through your body, even in your stomach? Jesus took that to the cross. He took that kind of anxiety to the cross for you and for me. Amazing. Verse 15, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws." Who knows if they even gave him any water the whole time he was being tortured. His tongue was just thick. He couldn't even, it just cleave to his jaws. "And thou hast brought me into the dust of death." There it is. He took on death itself. And he was the only one who could be raised from the dead eternally, because he was the only human that had sinless blood. Mary was his mother, but God Almighty is his father. "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Can you imagine being laid to a cross and having 10-inch, like railroad spikes, driven through the bones in your wrist, driven through the bones in your legs, and you're hanging with dislocated bones from a crucifix, a cross? I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. His skin was so ripped off by the cat o' nine tails and the beatings, he could literally see the bone beneath the flesh. It was so torn open. And look at this just cavalier attitude the guards, the Roman guards had, verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. I mean, here this man is in the most excruciating pain, and these guards are at the foot of the cross where he can see them rolling dice for his clothes. I can't even imagine what that would do to a man psychologically, hanging there from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But look at verse 19, oh glory. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. Look at this. O my strength, haste to help me. His friends may have forsaken him, but God never forsook him. No, not for a second. Can you imagine? People say God left him on the cross. Eli, Eli, why have you forsaken me? That has to be a mistranslation, because let me ask you one logical question. If your son, who had never done one thing wrong, who had always obeyed you and been kind and loving his entire life, was in the hospital, in the emergency room, where would you be? Would you be at home? Would you be off somewhere having a lunch with somebody? You know where you would be. You would be right by your son's bed, talking to him, saying things to him, giving him hope. That verse just brings me to tears, because Jesus had probably read this psalm 100 times. And he knew this psalm was talking about him. I can't even imagine what kind of love it would take. And yet in all of that, the one shining thing that he had to hang on to, his hope, his anchor, was in John 16:31, where he said that all of his disciples would forsake him. And do you realize right before this happened, they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? This is what he was surrounded with in the last moments, you know, while he was Lord on earth. And yet he said in John 16:31, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. The Father didn't deny him. He didn't leave him on that cross by himself. Jesus knew these prophecies. No wonder he was so stressed out in the Garden of Gethsemane. His mental agony, like none of us can ever comprehend. As Jesus put it, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He was so stressed out, he just felt like he was ready to die. I mean, wow. And his stress level was so high, his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And remember, this was the only time in Jesus' entire life that he ever asked the Father 3 times, is there any other way this cup can be taken from me? In other words, Papa, I really don't want to do this. The human man, Jesus Christ, would you want to do it? I don't blame him. And yet what kept him going? Number one, love. Love for people that he had never seen. We know he could have called down 72,000 angels and walked off that cross like that, and he never did it. He stayed up there for you and for me, not because he needed it, but because we needed it. And he knew he alone was born to do this, to carry the sin of the entire world. Only he could redeem mankind from death unto life, because only he had innocent blood. Only Jesus always did the Father's will. And just think about this. He did that so that when you and I don't do the Father's will, we can be forgiven. and we can be clean, white as snow. What a gift. Only he could open the door of atonement for men and women to be made at one with their heavenly Father and to have an intimate relationship with God. Only he could pay the price for us to be born again of incorruptible seed. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Only Jesus could redeem us. Only he could cause us to be born into the family of God and give us eternal life. Jesus alone was and is, still is today, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, even today. And so he stepped up to the plate and went through all of this for you and for me. And ladies and gentlemen, I take this very personally. I started believing long ago that if Jesus only saved one person, he would have still done this. And yet he has saved millions and millions from the pain of sin and death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. This is Paul speaking by revelation, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, we manifest the results of his death. We show it forth by believing. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, not believing in the power of the memorial of Holy Communion, he shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And that's why I said, just get your heart right, because it says, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat the bread and drink that cup with the right heart, the right mindset. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not appreciating, not discerning, not understanding fully the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many fall asleep before it's their time to pass. What the world is missing for free, such healing, such emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, long life and many days on this earth, because no one taught them the real truth involved in Holy Communion. It breaks my heart. Because like I said, no man ever loved us more than Jesus. And right now, as we prepare our hearts to eat the bread and drink the wine, let us fully discern, fully appreciate what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Let us take in his healing mentally, physically, and spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.